You may be seated. Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Psalms, and we will be reading from Psalm 46, and that'll be on Pew Bible page 456. I was this close to telling you the Pew Bible page in my Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. To the leader of the Korahites, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Our next scripture lesson comes from Luke's gospel. Luke 23, verses 33 through 43. On Pew Bible page 826. Listen to God's word. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leader scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who was hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious Lord, we thank you. We thank you for watching over us, caring for us, for being with us, for being our God, and calling us to follow you. Lord, as we listen to your word, as it moves around us, through us, within us, we ask that it would guide us and lead us to be your people in a struggling world. Help us to bring the light of your Son throughout this world of ours. Help us to bring forth the reign of your Son so that his kingdom will fully come. Bless the meditations of our minds and our hearts today, and be with us, O Lord. Amen. I don't know if you know this song, but sing with me so that it doesn't sound bad. Jesus, remember me when I come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when I come into your kingdom. Some of you know it. Some of you, I could see you mouthing the words, allowing me to destroy a little bit of your eardrums. Now, I could keep on singing it because it's just one of those beautiful rhythmic melodies. It's actually a song of prayer, a prayer song. It's a taizé prayer, which is one of the newer ways in which we're embracing as Protestants some of the things we might have thrown out 500 years ago during the Reformation. We're embracing aspects where we sing prayers. Jesus, remember me when I come into your kingdom. The words of the man hanging on the cross with him. Now, it might seem a bit strange today, with Christmas just 5 Sundays away, to be talking about the death of Christ. And as we read in the scripture today, we read of his suffering on the cross for us, and it does seem a little more appropriate to Eastertide. But just because it feels strange doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong or out of place, because today is the celebration of the reign of Christ the King Sunday. It's one of those different days. It's the end of the church calendar year right before Advent, where we celebrate Christ's reign in our lives, in our world. There's this aspect where right before we gear up for the preparation of Advent, the peeling away of things, we begin with celebrating who Christ really is, that he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Now, for the next 4 weeks after today, we will celebrate his birth, preparing and making ready bit by bit, steadier and steadier. We'll go as we light candles, as we see the decorations go up in our communities, we'll be making ready as the pile of presents probably grows bigger, or unless I hear Debbie's mom used to put everything up the day before Christmas. So maybe we'll have that, or everything will just go out at once. But here we are celebrating the reign of Christ. And it might seem strange that at this supposed low point of his life, where he's mocked by soldiers, hung on a cross, insulted by the worship leaders of the religious community, that he has an insulting sign placed over him in three languages. This is the King of the Jews. It's strange that we celebrate with this scripture. But it's also a high point as well as a low point. It makes me think of the King of England known as Alfred the Great. You might know of him as the King of the Burned Cakes. He was hiding out from the Vikings, and to keep his cover, he allowed a woman to beat him with her broom so that his cover wasn't blown. But at the point in which he had lost his entire kingdom, when everything seemed completely gone wrong, suddenly he wins back his kingdom. Not that dissimilar to how Christ sits there, suffering tortured on the cross, and then dies, and then comes the pinnacle moment of his rising again in glory. But we see all that he's going through. Not only is he suffering and tortured in his death, he has the added insult to injury of being yelled at by crowds around him. People are probably throwing produce at him as well, as was common with people being crucified. And in the midst of this, the man who is crucified with him is saying, "Come on, Jesus, get us out of here. You're so powerful, get us down." It's as if one of those moments where you say, "Well, this couldn't get any worse." And then it does. And then it couldn't get any worse. And then it does. It's literally as if someone said, "Well, what's the worst that could happen?" "Well, crucifixion." "Well, okay, crucifixion meets this, and then this." And yet, with all of this, with all of this burdening him, with all of this pointing towards his humanity, in that moment, you have the other criminal. The other criminal who affirms who Christ is, who asks one thing of Jesus: "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." At this lowest of low points, there is this one man who affirms who Christ is. Not only that, but he also affirms Christ's innocence. This isn't a man who says, "I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I'm innocent, I'm innocent." This is a man who looks at his compatriot and says, "We are here because of what we've done." Jesus is not. He is innocent, and he is the King. In this lowest of lows, he accepts who Christ is and tells us of it. Now, we tend to sometimes get lost on these two criminals. The last thing we should be worried about is what they did. The fact is, it doesn't matter. They're criminals. The one affirms that they deserve what they're getting. You know, we could do kind of like what Barb does. "Daddy, have you seen my thing?" "What thing, Barb?" "You know the thing, the one thing on the piece of paper, that one?" We could spend all day and forever worrying about, wondering about what these two men did to earn themselves the place on the cross. But the reality is, one, they're criminals and they affirm it. Two, the Romans have put them there and there is a wide range of things they could have done. They could have been zealots. They could have been thieves. They could have been any number of things. But you know what? What matters is not what they did to end up there. What matters is the affirmation of the one who sees the King for who he is. Today is a bit of an odd day in the church calendar year, not just because it winds down the year and we celebrate Christ the King right before we celebrate the birth of the King, but it's also a little bit weird when you think of the fact that politically we might have had this whole thing back in 1776 about rule of a king way back when. We haven't had a king since way back then. We've had, even then, you could argue that it's a parliament, and we rejected parliament and the prime minister. But the fact of the matter is, we haven't had a king ruling over us since 1651. So what's it like to have a king rule over us? What is it like to be the servant of a king? It's a little weird to have that. I mean, the reality is Christ the King Sunday needs us to understand what it meant to be the king, what it meant for Christ to be the king. Are we talking about kings in terms of the absolute monarchs, the kings who could rule every aspect of a peasant's life? Are we talking about closer to what David is? The term reign and rule can mean predominant or prevalent or royal authority or sovereignty or supreme power. Within that context of faith, within our discussion today, we see that it moves us towards the idea of allowing our king, the King of Kings, to rule and reign in our lives. Embracing that reign. Embracing his rule over us. Which, of course, then begs the question, do we let him rule in our lives? The true unfortunate reality is that this is seldom so. We have more of a tendency to treat faith like a club, which we're affiliated with, but heaven forbid should call us or ask us to do more. While I was sitting this week, I remembered that this very subject of what it means for us to let Christ rule and reign was actually covered in the Heidelberg Catechism. In its discussion regarding the Lord's Prayer, and more pointedly, the part in which we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," it says a few things. Your will, your kingdom come means rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Preserve your church and make it grow. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your word. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven means help us and all people to reject our own wills and to obey your will without any back talk. Your will alone is good. Help us, one and all, to carry out the work we are called to as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Are we willing to let Christ reign in our lives? When we pray the Lord's Prayer, are we really praying a prayer which we know by rote that we don't necessarily desire and want? Or are we praying a prayer that we truly, within our hearts, love and long for it to happen? We love and long for that day when his kingdom does come, when it does come to earth as it is in heaven. That's the hardest thing we pray, really. That we are willing to bend our will to his. That we are wanting for his kingdom to come. We talk so often in the realm of possible and maybe and oh, if. Especially about God's kingdom. But the challenge is, how wondrous would our world be if every Christian worked to make his kingdom come? If we worked as hard at his kingdom, at building his kingdom, working and serving his kingdom as we do other things. The reality is, even as he hung suffering, being tortured on the cross, the very kingship of Christ was apparent. And so we're left to ask and then answer the ginormous question every day. Are we submitting to his rule in our lives? Are we working to be servants of his kingdom in our world? It's not about freedom. It's about the fact that we say what we are. We call ourselves Christian, little Christ, part of his kingdom. The challenge is, are we willing to live into what that really means in our lives? Brothers and sisters, may we embrace the reign of Christ our King and live into his reign on this earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Let us respond to God through our gifts and from our blessings. Thank you.